Today's daf is daf Yud Beis, so we're on the very top of the new Mishnah. Today's daf will have nothing to do at all with Timur. I don't even think we mentioned Timur once. This is just one of those Mishnayos and Gemaras that are placed here. So the Mishnah begins as follows: Ein ha-meduma midamea ela lefi cheshbon. So the Indian of meduma midame, it's referring to if chuma falls into a pile of chulin. So then the din is, so that let's say there's you need 1 to 100 to be mevatel the chuma. So some chuma falls into chulin. So if there's less than 1 to 100, the ratio isn't there, then the entire taruves is going to be usered, or at least a din of chuma, and only a kohen can eat it. Now let's say that pile of chuma mixed together with chulin falls into another pile of chulin. So now what ratio do you need? Do you need ratio of the initial chuma that fell into the first pile? Or since that first pile is all usser, so now you need 100 connected the entire taruves. And the din is, you only go based on how much actual chuma is in there. So if only one seh falls into chuma initially, all you need is 100 connected the possible one seh that fell into the next mixture. And the Mishnah says, Eina mechumatz mechamit elofi cheshbon. That which becomes chametz or mechamitz is only according to the cheshbon. So what is this? If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains, Eina mechumatz mechamitz, that which became chametz, can only create new chametz lefi cheshbon, which means, isha shachulin shenis chametza b'so'or shal chuma. You have some dough that became a dough that's chulin, that had some yeast, chuma yeast, se'or is yeast, that was from chuma that fell into the or was mixed together with the dough, so now hare kula asura. So now the entire bread is chuma because it the sor there, the yeast was chuma. Now let's say some of that dough letoch isacheres fell into another mixture of chulin. So now you got a chala 2. And then a chala 2 is completely chulin, but some of chala A, which now has some chuma in it, was mixed into chala B. So now, what happens? V'chimtzaso, and that actually causes the challah B, or the bread, the dough B, to rise, to become chametz. Eino osar te elofi cheshbon or chuma shim'ura bo. It only becomes asr according to the initial chametz that fell into, the initial chuma that fell into the dough A. So depending on how much fell in, that would dictate whether or not mixture B, dough B, would be considered a chuma or not be considered a chuma. We don't go based on the amount of all of the first bread, but only based on how much chuma was initially in it, and we take that into consideration when figuring out whether the second challah is going to be chuma or not chuma. Then the Mishnah says along the same lines, "Ein hamayim shuvin posen es mikveh ela lefi cheshbon." When it comes to mayim shuvin, which is drawn water, we're going to learn a little bit more about this in the Gemara. But if drawn water, the way it works in building a mikveh has to be rainwater. But if you draw water from another location, that's called mayim shuvim, that's drawn water, that's like shaftim mayim besasam, shu'iva, is to draw. So that would be pasul, and that's going to disqualify the mikveh depending how much of the mayim shuvim is going to be present in the mikveh.
The first location would be, let's say, if 1/50th comes, falls into the dough or into pairs, and then half of that falls into the new one, then you say it's 100, is that
the cheshbon,
how it works?
Then you would say, bottle, yeah.
Half of the other one falls, and already you say,
right.
It's already turned
exactly.
Into 100.
Right. Okay. So then the Mishnah says, next din is, V'ein mi mechatas, nasin mechatas, ela im matan eifar. So when it comes to parduma, so there are a few different elements you need to create parduma. One is the mechatas, the water of the maim chayim, el keli, that's one. And you also need the eifar paraduma. So the way it works is, though, that the first you put the water in, and then afterwards you put the afer in there. So that's the order in how you put things in. So it only works if the matan afer, once the afer, the ashes are placed on top of the mayim, that's when the mechatas becomes the mechatas. And we'll learn that as well in the Gemara. And then it says in the Mishnah of Ein Beis HaPras, Ose LeBeis HaPras. Beis HaPras is, let's say, you had a field. And there's a kever inside the field, and you plowed, or someone plowed the field. So now all the bones that are there are now broken to small little pieces. We don't know where the kever is, if they're bones the size of a ketsaora that's going to metame a person or not. So that's a base of pras. But we have is, if you have one field that became a base of pras because it was plowed over and all the graves were all crushed, that cannot now, if you extend, you plow another field next to it, that base of pras cannot make another adjacent field into base of pras as well. And then the Mishnah finishes off, which actually does mention Tamur here. This is why the Mishnah is here. And then it says, one more thing before that. V'ein Shuma Acha Shuma. Once you separate Shuma once from your field, from your fruit rather, there's no Indian of making Shuma a second time. It doesn't work. And so if I have 100 grapes and I separate 2 grapes, 1/50th for the Kohen, I have 98 grapes left. If I want to take chuma from the remaining 98, that just won't take effect. Nothing. It's a chal because ain chuma achat chuma, and then ain tamura osa tamura in a similar fashion. That which becomes tamura, that which has kedusha through tuma, tamura cannot make another thing. You can't do tamura a second time onto another animal. The law of vlad osa tamura, and not only that, but also of vlad, vlad kachim, a vlad of an animal that's kodesh, that vlad cannot make tamura either. Whenever there's a secondary level of kedusha, that cannot make a third level of kedusha. So since tamura A is already a secondary kedusha, that can't make into another tamura. And since vlad kachim is also a secondary kedusha, that also can't make tamura. Comes along with Yehuda Omer, Havlad Osa Timura. He argues, we saw this already mentioned in the Gemara, that Vlad Kachim can make Timura. And Amrulo, the response back from the Chachamim is, Hektesh Osa Timura, Bevein Vlad Osa Timura. No, only Hektesh, only the original Hektesh may make Timura, but that which is secondary, namely Vlad Hektesh, cannot make Timura. So this is the long list of Dinim list in the Mishnah. So Gemara is going to go through one by one who authored each of these individual statements. So the Gemara says, Man Tana, who's the author of this Mishnah? Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Delo K'Rabbi Eliezer. It cannot be the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Why not? The Mishnah tells us as follows. Maseches Chumos, Sa Shel Chuma Shenafla B'Pachos Mimeya Chulin, Vinidbu. So let's say you have a sa of chuma, a certain amount of chuma that falls into an amount of chulin that does not have the ratio of 1 to 100. So the whole thing is us. It's all going to be aser. It's a mixture of chuma and chulin. Benafa mina meduma. Now you have this taroves and that falls into lamakum acher, falls into another pile of chulin. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer midama midamea kichuma vadai. So he thinks even the second pile is going to be meduma. Why? Shani Omer sa shenafla he shalta. The chuma that fell into the original pile is the same exact chuma that was picked up and moved to the second pile as well. And that's Rabbi Elazar. He thinks the second tarovas will be aser midin chuma. Well, so therefore, he cannot be the author of our Mishnah. While Chachamim say no, Chacham Omer ein midamas ela lefi cheshbon sheba. Not true. That we only go based on what was originally in the chuma originally in the pile, and therefore, as Ricky gave the example before, if you have 1/50th initially, and then half of that goes into the second chuma, so that means you only have one to 100, so that will create the necessary ratio, the necessary bittel for the chuma. So the Chacham are the authors of our Mishnah that again, ein midamas ela lefi cheshbon sheba, according to the initial amount of chuma that fell into the first pile. Okay, next din. The Gemara says, "V'ein mechumat mechamit." So the Mishnah had said that din. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan again. He wants to know, "Masnis and delo ki Rabbi Eliezer." This too is not like the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer from a different Mishnah. A Mishnah that appears in Maseches Orla. Seor shel chulin. You have a yeast of chulin. Us shel chuma and the Yosef yeast of chuma. You have two yeasts, one from chuma, one from chulin. Shenafel l'tocha isa. They both fall into some dough. Each seor in its own right does not have the ability, does not have the potency to be mechamit. But when they're combined together, they amount to mechim, so they are able to generate chametz. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Acher, Acher, and Aniba. Whichever one comes in last, that's going to dictate the status of this bread. So if it was first the chulin fell in, and then the chuma seor fell in, then this is chuma. But if first the chuma seor fell in, and then second the chametz, the chulin seor fell in, then this would be considered chulin. It always goes based on acher, acher, and anibah, says Rabbi Eliezer.
What causes the actual final...
Exactly. What completes the tzirf of shir that's necessary to create the chametz. Then come along the chacham omrim, bein shenafel iser lechachila, bein shenafel iser basof, whether the chuma one came in first, whether it came in last, liolam ein aser ad shehebo kedei lechachmetz. So it's not going to ask anything unless there's enough of the chuma on its own right to Aser. But once the Truma needs the assistance of the Chulin Seor, so then it's not going to create this bread as a Truma, and it's going to remain Chulin. So this is like what we said in the Mishnah, that Ein HaMechumetz Mechametz Elofi Cheshvan, unless there's enough of the Truma to generate Chametz. Next in. We said that when it comes to Mayim Shuvim, it only disqualifies the mikvah if there's the right shear, the right size of Mayim Shuvim. So Man Tana, who authored this part of the Mishnah? So Amar Rabbi Chir Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan again, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. This must be like not the Stam Rabbi Eliezer, but a Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. He must be the author of this line of the Mishnah. Why? How do we see this? The Sani, the Brisa, tells us as follows, that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer Mikvah Yesh Yeshba Esrim V'Achas Sa'ah Mei Gishamim. So we know the minimum size of a mikvah is 40 sa'ah. Actually learned from this week's Parsha. It's learned from Nida. They learned a special din in terms of Tfilas Kalim. So there's a Rashi in this Parsha that actually learns in 40 sa'ah. But a mikvah has to be 40 sa'ah. So let's say of this sa'ah, it's of the Nesei 40 sa'ah, the 21 of them, which is Rove, 21 of the 40, 21 is Meg Shaman, rainwater, which is ideal. And then Mimala Bekasef, and you're using, carrying things on your shoulder, you draw water for the remaining Shasrei Sa'ah, the other 19. So 19 is drawn water, 21 is Meg Shaman. What's the din of such a mikvah? Rove it's Meg Shaman, and Amiyat is Maim Shuvim. The din is Poskin LeMikvah. So now, the way you do the water, the way you draw the water is actually not pouring it directly into the mikvah, rather you put it into some type of pipe, some type of sewer system of some sort, to draw the water, to have it trickle down into Vehein Tahorin, becomes Tahor. Shashi'iva mitaheres birviya uvam shacham. Even though Mayim Shuvim is actually possible, but if you happen to draw it through Riviya, and Hamshacha, which is drawing the water from elsewhere, you don't directly put it in, that's also going to allow the use for the mikvah. Meaning what? You need two tanaim. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you need two different tanaim. Number one is you need a rov megishamim. And number two is even the miut, you can't place the miut of shuvim directly into the mikvah, rather you have to do hamshacha or via to have it trickle there from a different location. Those are the two necessary criteria for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So now, if you take a look at Rashi, just to make everything clear, Rashi says as follows: "Metaheres v'revia v'amshacha kisharo mimeg shamim." Says Rashi, when most is meg shamim, shenaflu miatzma latocha, they just fell into the mikvah, which is all great. V'himshich miyut shel shiva latocha, and then you draw water; you have it come from a pipe from elsewhere. The mayim shuvim derech haritz, through some type of ditch. Metaheres hashiva, then even the shiva would be permitted. That's exactly what we saw in the Mishnah. Lefi cheshbon demasnisim de'ein hashuvin posen es hamikva derech hamshacha elam kein hayusham esrim se'ah. So it only disqualifies if the mayim shuvim is 20 se'ah or more, will disqualify. But once it's less than that, once it's less than the cheshbon, so then it's permitted even through hamshacha. That's how we understand the Mishnah, at least at this stage, was authored by Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That again, we go based on the initial cheshbon being there. Okay, we're all good with that? Okay, the Gemara now says, Mechlal, this implies that the Rabbanan, sorry, the Gam Revia, Bamshachalo, that they hold that even if you draw the water from Revia, Hamshacha, drawing it from elsewhere, that will not mitire the water. So Ella, Hadachiasa Rabin, so that's the case. So there's Machlokas here, whether or not Hamshacha works or doesn't work. So then, the Chiyasa Rabin, where Rabin came, V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, he quoted from the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, She'uva Shimshichua Kula Tahora. So he says that you take Maim Shuvim and you draw it from somewhere else, you have it come through Hamshacha from a pipe, that's completely Tahor. So who holds this way? That, again, you could have a full mikvah of all Maim Shuvim, this din says. As long as you didn't directly pour it into the mikvah, you put it somewhere else and let it go down a little pipe. This opinion says that it's completely mutter, even if all 40 saw were not meg shaman, they were all from Mayim Shuvim.
It was zero meg shaman.
Exactly. So who holds this way? Says Mimani, who authored this? Lower Rabbanan, can't be Rabbanan, because Rabbanan say it never works. You can never use Mayim Shuvim. And Lower Rabbi Elazar, he says, even though you can use Hamshacha, you have to have still row of it be meg shaman. So who authored the statement that Ravin was quoting from Rabbi Yochanan? So Gemara says no. Ella Amar Rabba. Rabba says really the Mishnah is saying something different. When the Mishnah says Lefi Cheshbon, it's talking about Lefi Cheshbon Kalim, according to the calculation of the Kalim. Meaning forget Hamshach. Hamshach is not on the radar at all. We're talking about where you take Kalim and directly dump it into the mikvah. So now what's the din with that? So the Gemara explains that Yosi ben Choni, this is the sheet of Yosi ben Choni, the sign of the Braisa teaches us that Shloshes Lugin Mayim Shuvim Shenafla Mayim. If you have Shloshim Lugin of water, drawn water, that fell into the mikvah, so the din is that's going to be Pasul. This is learned, people remember this from Maseches Makos. In the beginning, they talk about the three lugim of water, and let's say a little bit of wine falls in, a little bit of milk falls in. It's a very confusing. People like to learn Maseches Makos because it's very short. But once you get to this daf, it really kills you. Like it's a confusing daf, and there's different shitas how to read the Gemara there. But either way, three lug of shuvim that's poured directly into a mikvah, that disqualifies the mikvah. So the Gemara explains. So if a person carries the kalim into shnayim ushlosha kalim, into two or three kalim, or even a filu bar bav chamisha kalim, even he separates three lug into smaller kalim, he breaks them up into small little cups, and each one has less than a lug. So three lug is disqualified. One lug, we view that as significant amount of water. So if I broke them up into three kalim, each one has a lug, so that certainly is going to disqualify it. But let's say I break it up into 100. Let's say three lug broken into 100 kalim, if you will. So each cup has a tiny bit of mayim shuvim. So each one in its own right is really is a non-entity because they're so small. Even 4 or 5 kalim is less than a lug each. That would be a non-entity. Even that we post in this amikvah. Meaning, when according to the Tanakhama, we don't care how each kli, how much it holds. We care about the aggregate of how much mayim shuvim is going to be in the mikvah. So that's the sheet of Tanakhama. I don't care how the size, how many kalim you're using. If there's 3 lug of water of mayim shuvim, it's possible. But according to Yosef ben Choni Omer, no. Bishnayim ishlosha kalim posel as a mikvah, but ba'arba v'chamisha ain't posel as a mikvah. He holds that only if the keli has a lug or more of water of mayim shuvim will disqualify. But if you want to get around the problem, you could take tiny cups of mayim shuvim and slowly add to the mikvah. According to Yosef ben Choni, it will not disqualify it. So that's what it means when the Mishnah says it ain't a mayim shuvim posel el fi cheshbon. It goes only the fi cheshbon of the keli being used. But if you're using a keli that doesn't hold at least a lug of mayim shuvim, then that will actually be permitted. So Yosef ben Choni is the author of this stage of the Mishnah.
A lug is what? Is it
like I don't know what it means practically.
But it's less than a sa or more than a sa?
I believe it's less than a sa.
It's less than a sa.
I believe so.
One sa is 24 lugs.
Oh, wow.
So it's not so much.
It's like a minimal amount.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the shita of, he's the one behind our Mishnah. So now the Gemara goes further. Next stage of the Mishnah. Ein mechatas, nasa mechatas. So the way it works is that you have to put the mayim chaim first by paraduma, and then you put the afer afterward. That's the order. Mayim first, and then afer afterwards. It's going to be a little bit confusing reading the psukim now, but let's go through how the Gemara says. Man Tana, who authored this Mishnah, this line that the mayim comes in first? Amar Rabbi Chir Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan again, Delo Ki Rabbi Shimon. This is not like Rabbi Shimon. The Braisa tells us with regards to Mesota now, we're comparing Mesota to Mechatas of Paraduma. When it comes to the Dinam of Sota, the din is Hiktim Afar Lemaim. If you put dirt in before the water, Pasul, it disqualifies it. But Rabbi Shimon Machshe, he thinks you're allowed to do order, to change order, you can't put the dirt in before the water. That's when it comes to the din of Sota. So my time with Rabbi Shimon, what's the reason Rabbi Shimon holds this way by Sota? The Chassid it says by Paraduma, he's learning Paraduma as a source for Sota. Paraduma says, Lachu latame me'afar, Sreifas achatas, you take from the dirt of that which has been burned, v'nasana lav mayim chayim, then you place the water on top of the dirt. So here, clearly, the way the pasuk in Parshas Chukas is read, dirt comes before the water. V'tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon asks the question, v'chi afar hu? How can the paraduma is called afar with an ayin, as that means dirt? Palo afar, which we with an alf, it's ashes here, not dirt. So Shina Kasa bin Mashma, why did it use the word afar? Lodun he manu gzeir shava, to use the chukas, to use paraduma as a model of the gzeir shava, to teach me to the mesota. Shinemar Khan, it says afar, it says by mechatas afar. Venemar lahalan, it says by parsha sota, and parsha naso, it says afar as well. Malahalan, just like by the Mesota, offer agave mayim, the dirt goes on top of water. Afkan here too, at lechachila, offer agave mayim, the dirt should go on top of water. That's ideal. But makan, but what, just like by mechatas, however, by paraduma, hiktim afar lemayim kash. If one were to put the dirt before the water by a mechatas, by paraduma, that's good b'dieved. Afkan, so too by the case of sota, hiktim afar lemayim kasher. If you put the dirt by the sota before water, it works as well. So what we're learning right now is, we learn from mechatas that water should go before dirt, lechachila. We learn from sota rather. We learn from sota that water should go before the dirt. But we learn from mechatas that b'dieved, if dirt goes before water, that's also fine. So Gemara wants to know, how do you know that? How do you know by mechatas that if dirt goes before water, it's fine? How do you know by this case that dirt could go before water, b'dieved? It says two psukim in the Torah that seem to contradict each other. It says, v'nosan alav, you're supposed to place the water on the dirt, it implies. Alma efar bereisha, v'hadar ksiv, then it says, mayim chayim el keli, that goes directly in the keli, nothing else is there. The mortar goes into the keli before the dirt. So how is this a contradiction? Which comes in first? The Gemara answers, haketzad. Ratza offer the mata, ratza offer the mala. That you have the option. Either you can put the dirt on the top or the dirt on the bottom. One's talking about a case lichachila, and one's talking about a case bidyevit. And that's how Rabbi Shimon learns this din of bidyevit. It works. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon cannot be the author of our Mishnah, where our Mishnah says that the water must come before the dirt. If you put the dirt in first, it's possible. Rabbi Shimon accepts it even bidyevit. So Gemara says, Tana didan my time. And what's the reason behind our Mishnah that even bidyevit, that if you put dirt in first, it's going to be pasul? Our malach, say for the kra, the pasuk says, mayim chayim akeli, that the mayim must go in first. Dafka, that means mayim chayim akeli, dafka, you have to take it literally. And then, menasna love, when it says nasna love, which implies that you nasna love mayim chayim, that you put the water on it, implies the water goes in the dirt, that pasuk is l'arvan. That means, not that you're putting water after the dirt, it means once you put the water in, then you put the dirt in, you should mix them together, l'arvan together, this way the water and dirt is mixed. But ein hachanam, you have to read the pasuk literally, v'nasan mayim m'chaim el keli, the water must go in first. And again, the other pasuk is lav dafka, just means mix them together, but the water is going in first. So Gemara challenges the sheet of our mission. It says, my chazes damer sefer the kradafka. How come you saw that the sefer, where it says mayim chaim el keli, that's dafka, that the water must go in first? And Dilma, maybe Reisha Dafka, maybe the Pasuk V'nasan Alav, which implies that you put the water Alav, you put the water on the dirt, maybe that should be taken literally, and the dirt should go in first. The Gemara says, Lo Matzad Amris, you can't make such a suggestion, because Mamatinu B'chomak, and where do you find elsewhere? I mean, by the Soti, you find Shemachshir Lamala, that the dirt, which is Machshir, the Mayim, the key, so that dirt goes on the top. Afkan here as well by Paraduma, the Machshir, the Afer, is going on the top of the Mala as well. So just like we have that by the Mechata, by the Mesota, you have to learn that way by the Mechatas, that the water goes in first, followed by the dirt. That's how the Gemara learns all this. Okay. Now the Gemara says the next point, and we'll finish with this, about the Beis HaPras. The Mishnah said, Ein Beis HaPras Osa Beis HaPras. One Beis HaPras cannot make another Beis HaPras. So, okay, so the Gemara says as follows now. Masnisin delo Rabbi Eliezer, our Mishnah cannot be like the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. That's not in the Mishnah. It tells us in Maseches Olos, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Beis HaPras, Osa Beis HaPras. He says clearly that one Beis HaPras can make another Beis HaPras. So if you have a field that there's a kever and someone plowed over it, and you're not sure where it is, so that Beis HaPras, even that field, can, and the guy, you know, he was plowing in field A, but he continued to plow in field B, in field C, in field D, he was going over, but we all know that there's only kever in field A, but since the guy plowed, and it's able to draw along with the plowing in other fields' bones, so Rebbe Eliezer thinks you can make the adjacent fields, all four directions, would also have a din of Beis HaPras. You can expand that definition. That's against our Mishnah. And our mission now, Gemara wants to know, now according to the Rabbanan, ad kama. According to Shita's Rabbanan, how far are you willing to go? What does it mean how far are you willing to go? So So there are two types of beis pras. There's one beis pras which we were talking about up until now, which are beis pras where there was a kever that became plowed over, and then there might be bones that are enough size, a shear of a kasora might be floating around different places. And that's a machlokas here, whether that can extend itself to an adjacent field or not. That's what we discussed already. But there is another type of field, which is that there's a kever here, we just don't know where it is. There's somewhere there, someone knocked over the tombstone, we have no idea where this field might be. So according to the Rabbanan, what would they say about, let's say you lost the kever in field A, so how far do you have to be choshesh for the field around it? Second, right?
Sounds like just talking about how far into the next land.
Is there a chashash of some sort? The Gemara says, the Gemara answers, Ki asa rav dimi amar Rish Lakish amar Shimon ben Baraba shalosh sados vishtei manos. So let's look at Rashi in the top here. It's a decent sized Rashi, but he says, shalosh sados vishtei manos osa sada shaya ba kever. The field that had the kever, that we knew that field A had a kever. Vesada lakan, vesada lakan. And there's a adjacent field. Im derech b'nei habika lachosh sadosein mizrach umarav osa beta pras osa sada Shibim Mizrach, Osa Shibim Arav. If they go east to west when they plow the field, so then those adjacent fields are going to be Aser as well. Vim Tzafon V'Darim Charshin. If they go north to south, Osa Beis HaPras, Osa Shal Tzafon, Osa Shal Darim. It makes the south and northern fields Tameh as well. Shisham Galgala Machrishas Afar Beis HaPras V'Atamos, because that's where the plow possibly had dragged the bones into the northern or southern or east and west fields. Abalolo ba'arba ruchas, but he says not all four directions, meaning when we had the machlokas, the Rabbi Yehuda said all four directions become usher. He says no, only the direction in which people plow. She'ain derech lachor shesiv area. People don't go crisscross. They go one direction when they plow. So whichever field they plowed, that's the direction you have to be choshesh for those two adjacent fields. V'osa shtei sados gufayu lohavu kulo beis hapras. And even those two adjacent fields, we don't say all of the fields adjacent are going to become beis hapras. Ela shir shtei manos, manu lezu, manu lezu. Only a mana in one direction into the field north, and one mana south to the field below, or the same east and west. V'osa sados shekever ba. But that particular field where we knew, field A, the original place that had the kever, that we say is Tamei Akul. The whole thing is Tamei. B'lo yadina be'eza makum mimenu haya kever. We don't know. So that's the din of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, back inside the Gemara, the top line of Yud Gimel and Aleph here, the Kama Mali Mana. So how far is a Mana? How far north and south do we have to be Choshesh? So Mea Amma, it's 100 Amma, which is pretty far. 200 feet into each field in the direction that you're going in. That's a Chashash. Kedisani, like the Brisa teaches us, it's really a Mishnah. It's a Tanah, Mishnah Meseches Olos. Hachorish is a kever. Osa el beis pras malo mana, which is a mea ama. So that ends our Mishnah. Okay, so we'll stop here, and Mizrach Hashem, we will pick up tomorrow.
First of all, the beis pras, it would seem that they didn't.